Yeah, praise God. Thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we are looking at the book of Acts. And yesterday we started looking at this man, Cornelius. And we were able to see that he was a man who was a soldier. He was a centurion in charge of 100 soldiers of the Italian regiment, which consisted of about 600 soldiers. And he was a man that was devout. I mean, he was God-fearing. He was also one who gave gifts or to the poor. He gave alms generously to the people, and he always prayed to God. And the Bible tells us when in the ninth hour, when he was in prayer, then an angel came to him in a vision and told him that, and he asked, "What is it, Lord?" And he was told that your prayers and your alms have come up to God as a memorial, but now you must send men to Joppa to call Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in the house of Simon the Tanner, and he will tell you what you must do. Now, on the other hand, on one side we see a man who understands authority, a man who recognizes lordship, a man who is ready to follow instructions and ready to obey. And the Bible tells us that immediately he called his servants, two of his servants and one of the soldiers who waits on him, and he sent them immediately. Now, on the other side of the coin, we see Peter, who God starts to prepare for this task. Remember, by this point, the Jews and the Gentiles do not interact freely. It is a taboo for Peter, it is a taboo for Jews to eat with Gentiles, and they used to try and separate themselves as much as possible. And God is not limited, because God had already given them the command through His Spirit and through Jesus that go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. But you see, when we are stuck to our own traditions, when we are stuck to our own, behaviors, our own things that we have learned, when we have what we call dry skins, dry wineskins, it's very hard to receive new things that God is going to release to us. And you see, one of the comparisons between Peter and Paul is that Paul, God has already said that this is my chosen vessel, and I will make him a minister and a witness of the things that he has seen and the things in which I will appear to him, the things in which I will reveal to him. God had raised Paul in a way to knowing that this is a man that was ready to receive from him what he has seen, but also he was ready for new experiences. He was ready to see, and God was willing, and he knew that Paul was able to receive that which is not common, that which eyes have not seen, that which even it is not permitted for men to speak. You see, when Paul says, "I know of a man 14 years who was carried into the third heavens, into paradise, and he saw inexpressible things for which words are not sufficient, or it's not even permitted for men to say." Now, you see, if he was to say, the men will misunderstand him, and men will even call him a cult or consider him that he is not of God, but God had given him the grace. Now you see, for Peter, he encounters a similar situation where God comes with a vision to him, and it brings him from what is known to the unknown. And this is really a turning point, because God, whenever he wants to transition us to a new season or to something that we are not used to, he will try to bring us to a place where he shows us something, or gives us a sign, or gives us a supernatural encounter to know that this is him that is calling us in that direction. And you can see, for Peter at this point, God gives him a vision. And when we're going to read, in Acts chapter 10, Verse 9, the Bible says, "The next day, as they went on their journey, they drew near the city. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." Now, this is about midday. Then, the Bible says, "Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him, let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, I want us to picture this what is happening in this vision. And if you can just picture the mind of the image in your mind, the Bible tells us a large sheet. Like it was an object that appeared like a large great sheet that was bound in the four corners. That means it was tied. It had four corners, but in the four corners of the sheet itself, it was tied and it was bound. And the Bible says it descended from above. It descended from heaven. And as it descended, he was able to see what was in this sheet. And he saw all kinds of footed animals. I'm thinking he saw lions, rhinos, zebras, kangaroos, you know, all kinds of four-footed animals. He was seeing them. And the Bible says, and all kind of creeping animals. I'm sure he was seeing snakes. He was seeing, you know, millipedes, insects. He was seeing, you know, all these scorpions and all these things. And then he also saw birds of the air. And I'm thinking in his mind, he was like, this might be even be vultures. This, you know, you can imagine all these animals that to the Jew they consider unclean. Now, it is God himself who had said that from now onwards, you Israelites, if you read at Leviticus 11, you Israelites, these are the kind of animals you should eat. You should only eat clean animals and not eat unclean animals. Like animals like pigs were not considered clean, they were unclean. So any animal that whose hoof was divided was considered clean, whereas any animal that whose hoof was not divided was considered unclean. For example, a camel does not have a divided hoof, it is considered unclean. Pigs, you know, all these things were divided for them. So God had already given instructions concerning certain principles that they were to be guided. But you see, there's a difference when God wants us to move into something else. It is possible that he can change already existing instructions and move us into other levels. Now, this you have to use discernment. Not that he is not moving you into sin, but he is moving you into new realms. And one of the things about God is that God will never leave assignments unattended. Now, you see, he comes and he brings this to Peter. And Peter responds as a man, responds as a Jew, and he says, "Lord, not so, Lord, I have never eaten anything unclean in my life." And that is true, and I mean, I'm sure he's proud of it. He's never done that. But you see, Peter is someone who, I was just trying to reflect on this. I was just saying how many times he used to say, "Not so, Lord." You know, when Jesus wanted him to, you know, to wash his feet, he said, "No, you will not do it. I will not allow you." And Jesus said, "If I don't do it, you will have no part with me." And then he said, "Okay, if you want to wash my feet, then you must also wash my hands and wash my face." And Jesus told him, "If you're already clean, you mean you do not need further cleansing." Then again, also, he is the same one who denied Jesus three times, and he was told. And then another time, God now comes to him and repeats the vision. And you see why we know it is of God, because the Bible says the voice told him, "Do not call what God has cleansed. What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And this is to tell you that this he had the assurance because the voice came to him that what God has cleansed do not call common. And the Bible says this was done 3 times and the object was taken up to heaven again. You see, God is always looking for people who will say yes. Maybe it is to go to a country. Maybe it is to do a mission work. Maybe it is to give to someone. Maybe it is to take care of someone's school fees. Maybe it is to do something that is pushing you beyond what you are used to. Now, God is not limited. It is not that if we say no, he will not be able to raise up someone else. When Saul failed on the mission of God, God said that he has found for himself a man after his own heart who will do everything that he has commanded. He found David. And Saul, no matter how much he sought the throne with tears, there was nothing that he could do to restore it. Likewise, here we see Peter refusing a ministry that God was ready to give him. Remember, they had been given a ministry to go into all. But since he refused, God had already started raising Paul. And that is why the Bible says, this man is my chosen instrument to send the gospel to the Israelites, to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. And so whenever we say yes, or whenever we fail to say yes, God is always ready to prepare someone else. I believe it is a great honor to be used by God. And though at times the burden might be too much and we might feel that, oh, we cannot do this, I believe if we ask him, if we ask him for the grace, if we ask him to walk with us, God is able to make the burden lighter. He's able to walk with us. He's able to encourage us. Now, verse 17 tells us, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, 3 men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So we can see that Peter meditated on the vision. And this is a very important thing that we need to learn. There are things that God brings to us, brings to our knowledge, or brings to our awareness. There is a need for contemplation. There is a need to ask and commune with God's Spirit. And what does that mean? You just sit down quietly and just speaking to God. Start asking questions. Start asking questions, and as you ask, you will find that God will start releasing inspiration and answers to you. And Peter, when he has encountered this vision, although he says, not so Lord, and is still meditating, 3 times it happened, what God has called, has cleansed, do not call common. What God has cleansed, do not call common. What God has cleansed, do not call common. God is after souls. God is after men. God is after even those who we think do not deserve the gospel. Murderers, prostitutes, those people who we think that are the worst of terrorists and all that. God is after them. God desires that they come to a knowledge of the truth. As men, we might judge people. We might judge them because of what we see. We might judge them because of maybe they are smoking or they are drinking or what they are doing at this point. But you see, when God is at work, when God starts to cleanse men, then it is God that is the final justifier. Even among believers, there are people who look on at certain denominations as different and they don't consider them clean. And yet it is God that cleanses. It is God that cleanses. Because salvation is for everyone that believes. Everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and that acknowledges Him as Lord. People might not pray in the same way that we pray. They might not be able to behave or act or worship in the same way that we worship. Their music might be different. They might choose another day to pray. But as long as they agree on the tenets of salvation, as long as they agree on a life of purity, as long as they focus on the true gospel, then it is God that cleanses. It is God that cleanses. And that is why He says, do not judge anything until the appointed time. Let us leave judgment to God. But let us submit ourselves to God, that when He appears to us in ways that are not common, in ways that do not make sense to us, in ways that pull us out of our comfort zones, that we might be willing to say yes. God's encounters are always new. God's revelations are always new. God's signs are always new. God's methodologies might be different from how you're used to Him. And such encounters might seem strange. It might seem heavy. I pray that God will give us the courage not to say no, but to accept the new realms, to accept the new challenges, to accept the new graces, and to embrace them well. Because when we embrace them, then we are able to be empowered for the new season. Because when we fail to do so, then that realm becomes abandoned. That assignment needs and calls for a new person. And God finds the person that is able to say yes. May we not be found lacking. May we not be found lost in our culture. May we embrace what God is doing and know the heart of God. The heart of God is for souls. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us insight into this. And by the grace of God tomorrow, we look at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. You're welcome, my brother. As God blesses in your heart.
Thank you, Dr. Manu.
Amen.
Yeah, this account of Cornelius and Peter just was a picture of the reality that we find ourselves in lately. This creation of religions, that as Christians we have put ourselves so much into religious texts we have created. If you see like those who themselves play more than four or five different sects of religion. And we often forget this. Salvation is not based on our doings, our religious doings. Rather, it's based on the love and the mercy of our God, the God that is above all those religions. And I think this is when you see Peter trying to forget that and telling, you know, God that, no, I've never eaten anything that is prohibited by our Jewish. So to him, the Jewish culture, the Jewish religion was more important than what God was trying to tell him at that particular moment. But it's good that he saw, afterwards he realized that he was wrong about it. So I think most of us are like that. We focus so much on the dogmatic religious guidance and restrictions in place, and we forget that the one who serves us is above all and is for all, because Cornelius being a Gentile and Peter being, you see, when he goes to Cornelius's place and he admits, he says, it is uncommon for us, it's not something that is acceptable for us to be the Jews to even go in the house of a Gentile. You see, but he had to go there. God had to ask him to go there to show him that it's for all. It's not for only the Jews, not for only the Gentiles, but it's for all, and we're all his children. And we should begin to look at ourselves in such a way. But unfortunately, we have looked at ourselves so much based on religion. I remember when I was in Ethiopia, and the Christian Orthodox would not recognize the other Christians as Christians. They said, they're like, no, we are the only Christians. And you wondered, you say, but if indeed we all believe in Jesus Christ, so, and God the Father, then these other vehicles we're seated in should not matter much. But again, unfortunately, you find Christians today, the person will ask you, are you a Catholic or are you a Protestant? To me, it should be enough once someone professes that they are Christians, whether Catholic, whether Jewish, whether, as long as the person has said, I believe in Christ, that is it. Yeah, so I think that is one thing I see, but I also learned from Cornelius that the good works we do, you know, as long as they come from a genuine place, they are not sure good notices and recognized. And there's always a reward. I remember growing up when we used to joke about people who wouldn't say no. I think it's even a saying in Uganda, meaning that your reward is in heaven. If someone, but of course people used to now abuse the saying, pay you or does not want to give, and says, no, no, your reward is in heaven. But again, you see from Cornelius that indeed all the good works he did, and despite being a man of influence, common to find the military officer, Cornelius is stated, you know, being so humble and so devoted to God. Because that men are often lied to by the devil that they are great. They're always covered in ego and pride. But Cornelius was humble enough to recognize it despite being a Gentile. So that's what I can say about this.
Amen. Powerful additions. Yeah, no, I think the issue of religious pride is a sin, actually. And it's a place where, as believers, we need to humble ourselves and ask ourselves, has God cleansed them? I mean, if they come to God, will God not accept them? And really, it's a place of repentance, and it's a place that we need to hear God's voice, that what God has cleansed, do not call common. And find how can we see in the eyes of God and bring these people into the kingdom of God and acknowledge that God is able to pour out his spirit on all flesh. He's willing. He is willing. And indeed, it's a great challenge. And unfortunately, Peter doesn't learn. That is a sad thing, because later on we'll see that, you know, when he eats in the house, when he's eating with the Gentiles, he eats with them. But then when the Jews came, he decided not to eat with them, and Paul has to rebuke him openly. And unfortunately, it seems that some habits die hard, but God is calling us to a place of submitting and surrendering to his will and distinguishing what is right and what is wrong, and following him and having the eyes of God, the eyes to see what God has cleansed. Let us pray. Thank you for the additions. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we worship your holy name. Thank you for speaking to us with such clarity and also with such conviction that indeed, what is it that we have failed to judge one another, to consider others superior and others inferior? O God, I plead your mercy. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us, O God. Because it is your cleansing that makes us accepted into the beloved. Believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that, Lord, even as we reflect on various things, as we reflect on the visions and on the destinies and on the journeys that you call us to, O God. May we be found faithful. May we say yes, O God. I remember those that need that encouragement. We pray for those that are unwell. We pray for healing, O God. We pray for answers, O God. Them that don't know tomorrow, that even the start of a time where they've lost their jobs, O God. I plead your mercies, O God. Intervene, O God. Make a way and provide a direction, O God. We trust in you. We depend upon you and we look unto you. You are a faithful God. We honor and exalt you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. 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 Shalom and blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.